figure it out. So it's basically three words, but we are going to treat it as if it's one word, because that's how you say it.
We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery.
Don't ever let somebody tell you you can't do something. You want something, go get it.
The effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is.
Hello, hello, hello.
Back we are.
I'm going to have to close that.
Bullshit.
You said this. I can't even see you.
You're a fucking pussy.
Look at the tin.
Oh, it's bright.
Blinded.
That's, I'm actually enjoying the sun in the back of my head. Close it down. A little bit lower.
How's that?
No, a little bit lower for you. Fucking 400 feet fucking tall. Ridiculous.
You can have a little bit on your head.
Oh, that's better. Head and neck.
I can live with that.
Can live with that? by rights, the sun should go higher as the day progresses, but maybe not.
Not in this backward ass built house.
Terrible.
Get a bit of that.
Yeah, get a bit of juice in to start the day. There it is. Bang. Caffeine. We're away.
That's my second one.
This would be my
27th.
Nah, I'm second. Early start today. Early start.
What time did you get up? 2 o'clock?
No, I did wake up at 2, but I forced myself to get in bed, and I actually got up at 4, and it was so fucking cold.
So cold.
And then the tragedy of all tragedies happened. The TV wouldn't turn on.
Oh, it's because it's fucking you around at the moment.
Yep, it's just been the one dick move. It's been fine. And then all of a sudden the TV wouldn't turn on. So then it's like, oh, okay. Well, I might as well go back to bed now. So just jump back into bed.
Have a look at you go in and out of bed like a normal person.
God damn, what the fuck? It was too cold to do anything else, but I did turn the heater on at 4 o'clock in the morning to heat the house up. So
clever.
So get up and just go, oh, this is much more doable.
It's cold, man.
Yeah, I don't enjoy cold. Cold is not something that I enjoy.
I prefer cold over hot.
Yeah.
Because you can get warm, right? Can't get cold.
Yeah. The cold just doesn't suit me. Like, I mean, working in it's fine, as long as it's not wet. You can work in it when it's cold. Working in heat is a little bit different. It's not as enjoyable. You know, summer in the heat, and holidaying and stuff, perfect. But, yeah, winter holidays, nah.
Not
for you. Nah, I wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it for me. How about you? Winter holiday person, maybe?
Never really done one.
No?
Honestly, haven't seen snow and none of that shit, so I'm not the person to ask.
No, it's an overrated experience.
Yeah, I feel like I go up into the hills enough for work that I experience enough cold.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, look, the times that you can go outside and you've got frost on your windscreen, well, just imagine that.
Well, that was this morning. I went to the gym at, time to go to the gym, 7:30, and it was still ice.
Why do you fucking sore?
Oh, this is from the other day. Oh, big chest session the other day, so my boobs are quite tender.
Pumping.
Oh, just feels like a big fat chicken breast.
It's not from collagen injection. No. I actually went past in Mandurah the other day. Went past one of those beautician shops, and they do the Botox injections.
Mm.
And I'm looking at the young girl at the counter there, and just going, "Oh fuck, you have really smashed those lips, smashed them.
Big.
Oh, it was terrible. Like
she likes it."
Yeah, she does. And look,
gives her confidence and good makes on her feel good.
Do you think there is a point? Well, I mean, there obviously is a point, but what's your personal point on sort of like when's too much is too much?
When is too much too much? I think when you can't smile or frown, because we rely so much on visual cues during discussion. Yeah. When you can't, like, are you mad at what I'm saying?
Can you remember that girl out of JAG?
Yeah.
Oh,
she was hot, wasn't she?
Yeah.
What was her name?
Catherine Bell.
Yes.
Catherine Bell, that's
good
her.
Good job.
I saw, must have been probably a couple of months back, I saw a video with her on like either Today to America or one of those morning shows. And it's just like,
she's just trying to cling on to her youth.
she has just pumped herself up. It's like you can barely recognize if they didn't bring up her name to say that was her, you wouldn't know it was her.
Yeah, right.
Like total face change. You know, lips all pumped up, you know, eyes look sunken because there's so much stuff in the cheeks and in the forehead. It's like, oh, wow. I mean, look, she might have just maybe just got it done the day before, pumped her right up, and it's just like a balloon. Yeah. But it's like, oh, man.
Too much.
Too much, yeah. And I mean, I suppose when you are as gorgeous as she was, if you don't age well, and some people just don't age well, and that's just hard lifestyle or whatever, but when you don't age well, I mean, look at Willie Nelson. That motherfucker is aged beautifully.
He doesn't give a fuck what you think.
Oh man, I've heard so many stories about artists that have gone around and hung out with Willie Nelson, and they're all smoking pounds on pot.
You're always on my mind. Oh fuck yeah, Willie Nelson!
What a stud!
What a dude to just. He's never given a fuck, right? Like, he's just undeniably Willie Nelson.
Yep. And he has been, as long as I can ever remember seeing video clips and stuff, he's been old.
Yeah.
I'm
not being rude. I just want to Google a younger picture of Willie Nelson.
Yeah. I can always remember him just having that dirty old long plaited hair.
Yeah.
That bandana on his head. And young just
Willie,
you know, Nelson. Oh man, crazy, funny.
No, that's not Willie Nelson. That can't be him. Surely not. That's not him.
Must be a different Willie Nelson.
That's him, man. Ah, quite a strapping young fella.
Holy shit! Where's the plait?
I don't know. He's still working on it.
He's got a white. He's got a white shirt and tie on.
He's got a weird hairline. Oh, that's definitely him. But yeah, right. Good on him. Good on him, Willie Hugh Nelson.
That's it.
Hugh.
I suppose. So he's better than Elvis, who just smashed himself with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Oh, mate, I would love a sandwich right now that you've brought it up.
Oh, a white bread.
Yeah, I might have Subway for lunch today.
Oh, why not? Why wouldn't you?
Subway. Now you brought Subway. Up sandwiches.
Yeah, they do make the best sandwiches in
pretty
my opinion.
Good. Pretty good sandwich.
I haven't had one for a very long time, but
today's the day.
Today's the day. Break it.
Do it.
Oh, bread. Oh shit. Nah, I don't think
you don't have the stones.
No, I don't have the carb loading ability. Can't do it in that bread. Question, Tom.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do your topic this week, since I stole it away week.
Just got a few little questions to ask. One of our, one of the friends of our podcast,
lovely,
dropped a topic on her page.
Ooh.
Yeah. Pricking the sausages to drain the fat out. Are you one?
I am not, but shout out to Lego Man, who is an avid listener of the podcast. When we were in our 20s, probably not. We're probably still teenagers then, actually, 17, 18. Had a sausage with a certain amount of liquid trapped beneath the skin.
Oh, yes.
Still like, oh, fuck, we lost it. We were super drunk. But the sausage debate will automatically go to his mind. Nah, I'm not. I like to just see where it goes, man. Some like to keep their skin on, some don't.
Yeah.
I'm not about it. What about naked sausages? Skinless sausages. You like those?
What do they call them?
Shivups or something like that?
Yeah, can do them.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, I love a good naked sausage.
Yeah, I do too. Look, I mean, it's, when you know what the ingredients are, they're not the ones that are mixed with all the wheats and sugars. But
if
you just
get the wheats and sugars. Stop being such a loser.
Why such a fuck? Sacrilegious sausage. Nah,
why would you? Why would you prick the skin?
Yeah, that's it. Well,
what's the benefit?
There is none. And okay. So the reason that you put the skin on there and maintain all the fat, so the meat keeps its moisture.
Keep it in there,
the meat then cooks with the fat, and then the moisture stays in the sausage and makes it sort of like tastier. Yeah. So one of our friends, she did the old.
Does she prick it?
She did.
Oh, you're a weirdo, whoever
and,
you are.
And showed. It was Alicia.
Oh, I know.
The dessert queen.
You weirdo, there. Alicia.
Yeah.
Must be a pregnancy thing.
Nah, yeah, probably. Could have been. Pricked it. Drained it. It's like, oh my God.
Fucking just don't. No. Just don't ruin the food for us, right?
No.
If you're not going to eat it properly, don't even eat it.
So here's where the questions will come fast and furious.
I was going to say, hopefully that wasn't your topic last week, because that was around about a minute or so.
So it's the other things that you choose to do and where do you get the ideas from. I mean, one of the big ones is, okay, so and with instant coffee, you know, well, the big thing has always been with instant coffee. Oh, no, you don't put the hot water in.
Milk first.
You put the milk in first. Why?
So you don't burn the coffee.
But the coffee's roasted.
Yeah, but it's different, isn't it? Because...
Why?
Because they're freeze-dried. I mean, there is a science to this. Even when it's roasted, it's not roasted super hot, is it?
No, it's not roasted to the point where it breaks all the particles.
It's toasted, right? It's like, toasted. It's not burnt.
Burnt to fuck.
And hot water at 100 degrees will get it to 100 degrees. So I think that there's a certain level where you keep it warm. So would you take your milk from the fridge at 3 or 4 degrees and then your 100 degrees, add to that, it finds that nice 60 to 70 degrees and is right.
Perfect for the drinking.
Yeah. I grew up in the era where people popped over for coffee and it was always water first. And I don't know where it changed. But I remember, actually, I think it was probably my sister at the time telling my mum she was doing it wrong and that you do the milk first. So where the fuck that come from, I don't know. Yeah, but we just grew up.
It's an interesting thing. It's sort of like, you know, where do you learn
where
these things?
Come
and
from?
Yeah, and why does it become so important to do it? Like, you know, the pricking of the sausages. I mean, that's something that you see somebody do and then
don't
just
ever
go,
do
oh,
that. Whoever's listening, it's, no. There's no benefit. You're a dummy.
No, don't ruin it.
Mm.
The coffee, you know, putting hot water in first or putting milk in first.
Yeah.
You know, and also one of the other things that I can always remember, especially when I was a kid, you'd see people put the sugar in afterwards
and then
stir it. Stir the sugar
tea,
in after.
Tea, right? You put the sugar in after the tea?
Yeah.
That's do you leave one. Your tea bag in there to draw?
Always.
You go the whole length, don't you?
Yeah, but not with black tea.
Okay.
With black tea, let it brew up, rip it out, milk in.
Oh, I go the whole... Because I don't drink my tea with milk, my black tea. I go the tea bag the whole way until the bitter end when you get like...
You're fucking brutal. Brutal. Because those are the sort of things over time. It's like when you cook... potatoes in the oven. Like, a lot of people will prick the potato so the moisture comes out so they can get it more crispy. Like, it's another thing. It's like, where's it come? Where do you, who sees who and says that that's the idea? And it becomes like...
Common knowledge
then. So, and there's so many little things in life like that where you just go, oh.
Yeah. Let me tell you another one that I always found really interesting was... like school stuff, right? All the people listening, when you're at school, did you ever have like the, oh, if your teacher's not here in 15 minutes, you get to go home? Did you ever hear that? No?
No, but it sounds good.
Right. The kids still say that now. So for like somehow it's transferred to the kids. So my kids say it. We said it at our school. No one ever went home, right?
No, like,
no
that's
one
right.
sat there and went, oh. Time to go.
Time to go. That's it.
No one had the balls.
No, nobody wanted to leave, just as a just in case.
Yeah, it's those things, right? Like how did, you know, that S where you draw the line,
yep.
make the S. Like where did that come from and how did that spread through the school system?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the same with and. And, you know, the reverse S dollar sign and that we sort of...
Ampersand.
We use. Yeah, that's it's like, that's another one. Like, it's just all of a sudden, it's just like, this is and.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Where did that come from? But surely that's...
We need Google.
All right. I mean, where's Jess today?
Jess, can you please come back from work?
Campus and origin. Late 18th century, alteration of per se, and by itself is and. What the fuck? And by itself is and. And per se. Yeah, okay.
So well, it's a terminology where it's been shortened and then just used
etymology.
As an abbreviation.
The term ampersand is a corruption of and per se.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've just bastardized it.
Ampersand.
As we have with a lot of the English language.
Yeah.
I mean, especially here in Australia, we've got the ability to bastardize a lot with adding O to the end.
Steve-O.
Steve-O, Robbo.
Robbo.
Georgio.
Georgie.
That's it, you know.
Yeah, we're good at it, eh?
We sure are.
We're the kings. Oh, we're not, because we're probably the best at it.
Yeah. Bottle-O.
Smoke-O.
Servo. Smoke-O. Oh, look, here comes fucking Jono. Jono!
Jono, you're a good cunt, eh?
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, and Jono is a fucking... Is that our culture, going back a couple of episodes, just add an O to shit?
Yeah, basically, it's one of our cultural... I don't know whether you call it a deficit that we have, man. We just... we're adding, aren't we, really? So it's not really... We're actually contributing to the English language in our own way.
We're definitely adding. Contributing is the word. That would imply that it's getting better, but we're definitely adding to
it. We're definitely adding to it, yeah, for sure. What have you ever thought about other stuff that you do? You know?
Not really. What do I do?
Here's an age-old one. The ultimate men's argument. Do you scrunch or do you fold? It's a big argument.
It's not that big. I'm a folder.
Folder? Yeah, I'm a folder.
But then
some people scrunch.
Scrunch it. Like, you fold it, but you can't just, like, open-hand it because it'll slide off you. So you still got to get a bit of a grip on it.
Yeah, but it's not like a dab. It's not like
a fucking going to get a rolled up bit of
like
paper.
Like a cotton ball you can just dab on the bastard. That's another one.
So toilet paper over or under when you put it on the roll?
Oh, yeah. No. Over.
Always over.
Rolling down the front.
Yep. Beards are better than mullets.
Yep.
Yeah, no, the origin of things we do is really surprising. Here's another one that's interesting. I don't even know if we've talked about it on here before, but handshakes. We do it now because it's polite, right? We used to do it to see if the other person had a weapon. That's all it was. The origin of the handshake was to see if you were holding a weapon in your hand. And to, you know, like it's, let's see, let's get close enough to have this so we're not here with knives. Yeah. Yeah. So the origin of stuff like that is really interesting.
It's definitely an awesome greeting with people to shake hands. It's definitely, you know, a bond that's, the bond too, I mean, just speaking around the handshakes, well, of course, the American Indians, when they love somebody that much, they want to be part of their family, they'd literally bloody exchange blood, slice both palms of the hand, put together, bang, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, so the handshake has been something that's been around for a very long time and it symbolises so many different things in so many different cultures, you know. But now, like, because people are a little bit adverse, touchy-touchy, you know, so that's not a...
I met someone at work the other day and immediately, like, my first reaction is to reach out and shake hands. And it was his first reaction too, but then obviously we're at work where there's like some strange shit going on. And he went, oh, are we allowed to do this now? It's, fuck yeah, we're allowed to do this.
Yeah, that's dead right.
Do what we want.
Yeah. Oh. No, that 1.5 separation of bullshit. Just, there we go. Blinds are down. Fucking turn into the icebox.
I can't do it.
Someone's in his eyes. Fucking not a summer guy.
It might be your head.
It's what it is. No fucking hair in the bastard.
Oh yeah,
that's better.
Know.
You see now.
I'm excited by the thought that we do it right. We learn from our parents stuff they do.
Mimic quite a lot.
Mimicry is the big one. We all want to go along to get along. What about learning stuff for the first time? How biased are we to that?
Oh, hugely.
Like, think about when you're an apprentice and you got taught how to do something the first time. You defend that, right? Like, you defend the way you know how to do something because you think it's right. You don't want to be wrong. No one wants to be wrong. But, yeah, you defend that like, this is the way to do it.
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot of stuff until somebody gives you a difference of opinion on it and you go, oh, okay, here's an ancient one. That's been around since the 1800s. Okay, so...
The 1800s. I don't think that's ancient, mate.
Three people ago.
Is it? 1800s, ancient.
Well, actually, no, we can actually take it back to the 1300s. Okay, so we can actually...
That's getting more ancient.
Take it back to the 1300s. Okay, so in the introduction of perfumes and stuff back in Cleopatra's sort of time...
Listen to you, because you're a big cologne guy now, aren't you?
So... Okay, yeah, so, yeah, so I like, So, okay, so colognes in sort of like modern world, okay, spray it in around your neck and then people spray it on the wrists, okay, and do that sort of thing. Okay, so, and that's been going on for a long time, and obviously Cleopatra back in those sort of days, it was all oil-based, so, you know, and the smells came from the oil, they'd mix whatever they'd mix, and that's how they did it.
Yeah.
Well, of course, now, because it's when you have anything... in an atomizer, you know, you just squirt it on yourself and it's all about the, it's not about, how would you put it? It's not about people being in your personal space. It's about people being away from your personal space that can smell it to then come into your personal space. So I was listening to some people talking about some stuff the other day and they're sort of saying, why do people spray shit on their wrists? Like, why?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. But it's been something that's been done for so long. Take a couple of shots in around the neck and then a couple on your wrists. And the, and people have always sort of said, oh, you spray it on your pulse points. Well, who the fuck smells your wrists?
No one.
Nobody. So it's like...
I thought you sort of did it so that when you extend your hand to shake hands, you're sort of getting that out there. People are then, you're touching someone, they're smelling you, you smell great. The neck is great for... When I was a single man and you're getting intimacy. That closer and you're talking and turn your head and you can smell it.
Oh, smell so
you know
nice.
You want this smell good.
You know you want me because I smell so good.
Yeah.
So it's quite weird. It's sort of like some of the modern guys now are going, why?
Yeah,
Don't do it. It's you don't need to, you know, you just spray it in and around the top part of your body because that's the bit you can smell. And if you can smell it, everyone else can smell it. So it's like you don't need
to... Is that true? Is it one of these things where like you just spray it and you're like, I smell good and everyone's like, I can't smell you at all.
Now that's it. Well, that's the other thing too is that's where good companies like Brut where you can just hit yourself from fucking nine different directions.
Let's not put Brut in the good smell zone.
Brut is fucking hilarious. You can dance on the inside.
You can smell that. Or from 100 meters, be like, here comes the junkies.
Here comes the brute. Here they come, covering up the fucking meth. We were going through Mandurah, obviously, the other day, and I'm watching a guy just walking across the traffic lights, and he is attacking the fuck out of his hair with the scratches. I'm going, oh no, oh shit, you are in for a real rough. Walk home. You could just see him doing the, just going at it, and then the shaking the head and like you know this sort of stuff. I'm thinking, oh man.
I'm glad you got some good entertainment out of my hometown.
Yeah, Mandra's good for that.
She's something else. She's something else.
It's growing fast.
It's so much better than it used to be for sure. Oh, it feels like that to me, maybe because I'm older and the things I'm interested in have changed a lot, but they've put in some work to that place for sure.
That shopping center there is phenomenal.
Fucking great.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. That thing is a big walk around there. That's a big walk, just seeing where everything is. Like, holy shit.
Man, it used to be like 500 meters long. Fuck, I used to put some time in walking up and down that shopping centre when I was a teenager.
Now, once you do sort of a couple of hours, you're like, holy shit, I'm exhausted. Stop and get a drink.
Yeah,
Jesus.
It's a good thing that there's shops at either end, grab a bit of fruit.
That's it. Come back. Charge up. Sit down for five. Right, okay, ready? Laps again? Right, let's do it.
Yeah,
off you go.
It's bizarre how much that place has changed. But it's human nature, right? We're just growing and expanding and... For me, if I was going to live in Perth or live in Mandurah, a house price difference, for 40 minutes on the freeway, I know what one I'd choose.
Oh, yeah, God, yeah. I mean, look, and I've never actually caught the train on a non-football day where I've always had the football passes, so I don't actually know how expensive the train actually is.
It's about $12 a day, I think.
Oh, hell.
$14 maybe for the day pass.
That's cheap, isn't it? Mm. That's cheap. And that gets you a return as well?
Up there and back.
Oh, wow, that is cheap.
Yeah.
That is so cheap. Jesus. And yet, you know, you can to put your car on the road and get up,
yeah,
up
and
there.
Yeah, and fucking stop, start.
And you can have a bad
roadworks. They've been doing roadworks on that road since 1980 and they're still not done.
Still keep. Oh, we're just improving.
What do you do? You're obviously a lot older than me. A lot older.
A lot older.
Obviously.
Yeah, obviously. God, you can see from, rough, the fucking, see from the photos.
Clearly you're a lot older than me.
Fuck.
What do you do that your parents did?
Yeah, well, I've picked up a lot of the same traits, obviously. So with just about everything. So, but I've been learning to change. So I was never one for fabric softeners. It was always just wash your clothes. And that's it.
Right.
You know, because obviously fabric softener was something you had to spend extra money on. And why the fuck would you spend extra money? It's just like when you're already washing them. You know, so, but now I've gone down the path of like, yeah, okay, it's actually worth using a fabric softener. Because then there was also the other thing that popped up maybe, I don't know, I heard it maybe, it was inside 10 years, I'd reckon. So like, oh, fabric softeners, fuck your washing machine. It's like, how? Yeah. How's a bit of stuff that goes into your clothes?
Can't
and makes
be any worse than the shit you're washing out of it, right?
No, it's right. You know, it's just like, so you'd have to think to yourself, okay, so what is it, does that information come from the people who supply the washing powder to start with going, fucking we're not producing that shit. So fuck, we can't have people buying that.
Yeah.
It's like, where does that shit come from?
Yeah,
it fucks
know.
Your washing machine. Like, so for me, like, that was one. Never used to use fabric softeners in clothes washing, whereas now I do.
Yep.
You know, so, and originally my mum was a coffee in, water in, milk in, sugar in, and sort of like, now I'm sort of like, you know, I've gone the opposite way. I've gone coffee in, milk in, sugar in, stir, hot water, mix, top her up. You know, so.
Top it up.
So
what do you top it up for?
With hot water. Just so only mix half of it to give it a good stir down the bottom and then mix it all the
what?
Way to the
top.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Nah, man.
Crazy stuff.
That's strange as shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What about, here's one that the kids surprised me with the other day. Toasted sandwiches in the sandwich press. Obviously no one has Breville makers anymore or Jaffle makers, depends where you're from. Butter on the outside. Always, right?
Always.
Always.
Why would you do it any other way?
Because you're a dummy kid these days, too lazy. Mim's like, I had to just toast it. I was like, don't do this. I was like, watch me butter mine. I said, don't butter yours, I'll butter mine. We'll see whose is better.
Yeah, that golden crispy outside with, oh. And it's got to be, and look, so I'm still of the old school, that plastic fucking shit they stick in and say it's fucking a butter substitute, the margarine thing.
Oh, you don't like butter? You don't like margarine?
No.
There's not much of it kicking around now, is there?
No, well.
Or is there? Oh, I can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah, it's fucking not butter. I can fucking tell you that.
And
so,
what we got?
Yeah, I mean, look, man, there's a company over here, is it Devondale, that do the spreadable butter.
That's what all
they do is they mix butter and margarine together, so you just get less harder compound that you can mix. Still tastes all right.
That's the one we got, I think. Super soft.
Oh, yeah. But no, it's nowhere near as good as the original butter. The unfortunate thing is, like, the original butter, you can't spread that
You fucking tear your toast to pieces.
Yeah, you can never put the fucker on bread.
Nah.
You know? And
do you butter underneath your peanut butter?
Oh, this is a big fucking argument we had at work. No.
Yes.
No, motherfucker.
Yes.
No.
There's no butter in peanut butter. You need the butter.
I have had people when I remember staying as a kid, they would put the butter on the toast and then give you the peanut butter.
Yeah, necessary.
It does add an extra taste. I don't do it myself, but I didn't mind it when it was done that way. And when I used to eat peanut butter, I just slap that bastard on thick, just straight on white bread and just, gorge.
Man.
Triple sandwich, just all peanut butter.
I just eat it now on a spoon. If I ever feel snacky, by the time you get through a heap spoon of that, you're pretty much over fucking eating for a minute.
Where the fuck did Super Crunchy go?
It's still around.
Fucking it's rare as rock and all shit though.
It's around, but
yeah, it is. Lego man, you found the last Aero bar in existence. We thought just
didn't
find some crunchy.
You say that you like smooth over? No, what? Jess. It was Jess, wasn't it?
We were gonna get rid of her.
Kill her for that.
You fucking just like off you go, girl.
Yeah, nah. Sandwiches, always butter under peanut butter.
Yeah, because obviously I don't eat bread anymore, and yeah,
you don't even get a say in this. You don't even have a horse in the race, mate.
No, I don't.
You
but
actually
I've coached,
can't talk
I've
about
coached,
anything. You don't no, drink I, coffee, I so to. Don't fucking comment on coffee.
I make a fuckload of coffee for people, though.
No, that doesn't count. Right? That doesn't count. That's like working at a car factory, but not driving, and then commenting on the laws, mate.
Well, here's an interesting thing. Just going back on the coffee wagon. So when you go into and Brista coffee is obviously hot water straight through the beans.
It's not hot.
That water's pretty fucking hot.
I don't think it's boiling. I think you'd be very, very surprised. I think it's like 60 or 70 degrees.
And you reckon it's just the milk that they use when they put the milk in?
And then the milk's 60 or 70 degrees as well. I'm not a barista, but there is a certain temperature that milk gets its frothiest at.
Guys, if any of you guys know, drop us a comment in the link below.
Because the frothing is steam into cold. So it'll be X amount of heat coming in, and it will be warming it to a certain amount. And then, so it never gets to boiling. Milk never gets to boiling. And I'm pretty sure that the coffee, that the water gets forced through the coffee, doesn't get to boiling either.
Yep. Here, let me drop a life hack on your desk.
Tell me.
Okay. So, if you would like to have clothes uncrinkled in your dryer, when you pull them out, you know, sometimes they come out a bit crinkled.
Yeah.
If you get 3 ice cubes and you put the ice cubes in a damp cloth when you put them actually in the dryer and let it tumble around, the steam that when you dry, it has to be on high, obviously you can't have it on low, like pussy heat.
Right.
When you have it on high, it actually uncrinkles your clothes.
So you put it in there.
At
so
the
do
start.
You dry them first and then?
No, just put them
start.
In there when they're because obviously the ice takes a lot longer to melt.
Right.
So, yeah, and it creates a bit more steam in the dryer and gets all the crinkles out.
We used to dry our shirts. Obviously, back when I started working in pubs, people still smoked. And if you needed a work shirt and it smelt like smoke from the night before and wasn't torn or covered in blood, in the dryer, tumble dryer, the heat, and the air gets the smell out.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of things.
But we used to tumble dry our shirts to get the crinkles out of them.
Oh, it's the best way to do
it. If your shirt's on the ground, just chuck it in the dryer for 20 minutes.
Quick, give it a quick turnover. Just get the life back into it.
Yeah, we used to do that for sure. What else? What else do you do that your parents did? Or don't you do that your parents did?
Well, there's one thing that I've gone back to after so many years of not doing that. That's just fucking evil. What the fuck are we doing that for? So obviously back in the day, my mum used to cook food in lard. So all meats used to get cooked in lard.
On the subject, before you get too into it, I've got that block of shit in there from when I was carnivore for half a week.
Yes,
you can take it with you.
Give me that stuff.
There's a whole block there.
Oh, that's fucking gorgeous.
You could chew it on the way home. Nice little treat for yourself.
Mang on it.
All right. So you've gone back to that.
So yeah. So like obviously, I went from as a teenager, just sort of like, oh, well, you know, you don't use lard. You fucking use the sprays. You know, all the canola oil and all that sort of stuff. You use those sprays. You know, to make stuff not stick.
Yeah.
Whereas you know, when you start delving into sort of like you know those sort of oils and compared to sort of like lard based stuff, it's like, oh, they're not real great for you. You know, they're not poisonous, but they're nowhere near as good as sort of like going for a more natural, you know, fat-based. So, yeah, so I've gone full cycle from mum doing the right thing to then me going down the sort of like the healthy, just using the spray and olive oil spray and everything.
Yep.
And then now going back to, oh, no, we'll go back to using lard.
Olive oil everything.
Yeah. And do you know the difference between the olive oil and the virgin olive oil?
It's just a time, isn't it?
Well, yeah, just cold pressed and stuff like that.
Cold pressed, yeah.
just somebody's not getting fucked when they're virgin olive oil.
Are you the age where you grew up just eating like dripping on toast?
Yep.
Yeah, right. Like
that was a shock for me.
Like, did you like it? It's just pretty much your diet now, but with bread.
Yeah, well, that's all it is. I mean, basically, all it would be is the dripping from your roast pans and everything that would go straight into a jar, and then, or not a jar, it was always a bowl, and then you just turn that bowl upside down, and all the once it's gone cold, and all the meat and stuff, all the meat and juice would all be in the bottom. So yeah, that was given to us as treats as kids, and it's just like at the time, it's just like. What the fuck is that? My grandfather used to love that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Just smacking on toast or bread and just beautiful.
Jess was telling me they had this conversation at work the other day and because she obviously works with old people. And they were talking about shit they used to eat and just like boiled wheat. Not porridge, just like
boiled wheat.
Grains of wheat. Just boil it.
Jesus.
Ugh.
I couldn't think anything worse. Do you like porridge?
I do. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, no, I'm not a porridge fan at all. No? Never have been.
That's another one. Mm. When you boil potatoes, do you put salt in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, because obviously potatoes have no taste and a little bit of salt won't kill you.
Yeah, a little bit of salt doesn't hurt, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I cook mine in stock now because I'm pretty advanced in my cooking skills.
Fucking good.
I put stock in everything. That I boil.
Yeah. Rice. Yeah, it's not a bad way to go. Yeah, yeah, get a taste everything. Do you, are you a couscous guy or a rice guy?
I'm not. I did grow up eating it because it was cheap.
Yeah, couscous is
nice. Yeah, my old lady used to make it a fair bit. And we've made it a few times. I don't go out of my way to buy it, but still just fucking around with a fork. And
stirring the butter through it and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I went through a stage where I just loved couscous. Yeah, it was like my favourite of all the grainy stuff to eat. You know, it just was, fuck yeah, so nice. And then I went down the path of the brown rice. You know, it's like,
it's extra nutty.
Yeah, it is. The good thing about brown rice is it's got a lot more guts to it. You know, there's a lot more chewing to be done.
2 hours.
Oh, you got to thrash the fuck out of it.
Fuck, it takes so long to cook.
Yeah, it's not one of those rice you just go, yep, 15 minutes, that's happening. No,
she's all day.
No, that's it. Well, I've got a rice cooker. And obviously putting the rice into that thing, it's just like you got to put it through like twice.
Yeah, wait for that of the fucking thing and open it up, another fucking litre and a half of water and off you go.
Give yourself another run. Yep, you'll come out of this all right. You'll cook.
It takes time.
It does, yeah.
What else do we used to do that my parents did?
Did your parents ever used to put the alfoil around the chicken, end of the chicken legs, end of the roast?
Nah.
Now, I've seen a few people do that and go, why?
Stop the ends getting burnt, right? That's the idea. So it doesn't burn the bone because it gets that bit, what's the word, acrid, I suppose. It gets a little bit.
A bit charcoal.
And there's a lot more chance, I suppose, of it to splinter if it's really burnt on the end.
Oh, if it breaks up.
Do you
up.
Eat the end? The fucking cartilage? Oh, yeah, me too.
Oh, I love those bits.
What about the parson's nose?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
Oh, I don't.
Parson's nose got to go.
Nah.
What about the neck? Chicken neck?
Nah.
Don't rip those out. I can do that.
No.
Eat wings? Eat chicken wings?
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking love those bastards.
I like the legs because no one else does. Now I do try and eat the breast a little bit more. But that's one thing I've gone back where I used to just cook chicken breasts for everything. Gone back to the thigh fillets for a lot of stuff. Mm.
They're
so much better for curries and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think I think what the chefs sort of say is there's more taste.
It's more
in
fat.
In the extremities, so you get the better taste factor.
That darker meat is so because of the fat. It's so good.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What
about gravy from the pan? Do you like flour and... Did you ever make gravy that way?
Yeah, yep. Flour in the bottom, add the water,
fucking whisk it.
My
old man used to do that, but I've done it a couple of times, but it's so easy just to get the powder.
Yeah, that's it. You don't have to beat the shit out of it. And the new ones now, you can get, you can literally fuck it up and it's still silky smooth gravy.
Tell you what, you whip it up, a little bit of coconut cream. Get in there.
Boom, ba-dum, boom. So good. There's so many other little things that you just along the way, little things that we just do, and you wonder how we've got to. Like with tea, water in first and then put the tea bag in afterwards, or put the tea bag in first, pour the water in over the tea bag.
Tea bag in first.
Yeah, and I've seen people do the tea bag in afterwards.
And I hate the people that don't do the tea bag the way I do it. Do you see the way I do it?
Yeah, wrap around.
So it doesn't fall in.
Yeah, I always do that. Yeah, wrap around. I don't want to have a piece of string.
You don't want to lose tea bag floating around there.
You stringing the fucking tag.
For those listening, you need to tie the tea bag or loop it around the handle and then back on itself. It's simple, but it will keep your tea bag in but out.
Yep, that's it. Yep. My old man, he used to be, and my grandfather was also the same. They would never have beer after tea. Never. Right. So if they were out on the terps, they were just out on the terps. And then once they had tea, no more drinking.
Right.
Finish. Bang.
What about coffee after dinner? Where did that come from? One, obviously Italy. Why?
A great way to keep you up till fucking late. Because you work on it sort of like in a lot of those European sort of
eating
cultures.
Heavy food.
Heavy food. Coffee. Pick you up, and especially some of the Ridgy Ditch coffee, it's like fucking wow, you get smacked with it. And that's because obviously sort of like they've, in a lot of those countries where coffee sort of is a big thing, like they sleep during the middle of the day.
Yeah.
So, and so like, as all the restaurants and cafes are open till like midnight, 1, 2 o'clock. And for those that have been sort of up, if you didn't get that afternoon siesta, trying to keep you awake until 1, 2 o'clock so you could have your full dinner out experience.
Strange.
Fucking hard.
Dessert coffee, yeah.
Yeah, dessert coffee. And it's quite a bit. I still love it. It's my biggest downfall. I love having a cuppa. And, you know, and then all the old sleep psychologists all say, you know, you shouldn't have anything too late. But for me, like, I feel like by about 8 o'clock, I just want to have a hot drink to go to bed. Before I go to bed, I just want to have a hot drink. There's something just, I don't know what it is. Just love it. Love the idea.
You're a loony.
Love it.
It's too late.
So they say.
I'll go, like, I'll still have another 4 coffees before 3 o'clock, but that's it.
Yep. That's one of the things I've got to try and find myself a substitute for something to have warm. That I just love that evening sit down cuppa. And I've gone for the decaf, and I've tried the decaf tea.
Sacrilegious.
Yeah, and look, I found out the decaf, it's actually a chemical process they do to remove the caffeine. It's not even a nice way of doing it. It literally is a fucking chemical raping.
Yeah.
So for those of you that sort of try and drink decaf coffee or decaf tea, do yourself a favor. Just jump online and have a bit of a look at the process they use to actually decaffeinate stuff. It is a very, very unhealthy process.
Unless you're a normal person, don't worry, Rick. Yes. You're doing fine. Don't worry about it.
Try
big
it out.
Big Pharma's not out to get you.
That's it. Big Dad is out there just taking notes.
What
the fuck's going on with your microphone, bro?
I don't know, man. Hold up.
Should see him. It's like watching somebody with fucking...
This is like Bambi trying to be on a podcast right
now.
Yeah,
fucking sliding around on a fucking ice and he's stretching. Fuck, Jesus Christ.
The boobs are still sore.
You obviously went to the gym today. What was training today?
Back and buys today.
Oh,
big
yes.
Back session. Massive Ooh. Back session today. So I'm trying every time I recognize my posture's shit, I try and correct it.
Yeah, there's. I saw it probably about 6 months ago. There's a band set up that you can buy.
There's a million of them.
Yeah, wrap around your shoulders, yeah. Try and pull your shoulders back.
I don't think it works, but
go the traditional, you know, shoulders back, stomach in, chest out. That sort of shit. That military solid
squeeze pose. A pencil between your shoulder blades.
Yeah,
all that
sort of stuff.
Shit. Yeah, I think that they're a big farce, personally.
Oh yeah, look at me. It's something you have to force your muscles to do. If something does
I think
it for
just
you.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
So your rotator cuffs and stuff like that. You know, your posterior delts, all those sort of things need to work in unison, which is your spine just starts to do what mine does.
Yeah, well, your posterior chain is the least worked part of your body and everything, because basically if you can't see it, you don't have a tendency to work it as a rule. So, you know, it's natural for the shoulders to want to actually roll forward and then pull your arms in towards the center.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to actually shove your arms back a little bit and push your chest out and just get that stretch across so that you don't actually feel like you want to round everything in.
I just do it because it stretches out my gut. If you're ever feeling a bit chunky out there, guys and girls, here's a free tip from someone who is a little bit thicker than average. If you feel like your gut's sticking out a bit, just try and stand up a little bit straighter. Put your shoulders back a little bit more.
Yep.
It'll make you feel better instantly.
Yeah. Yeah, the suck-in factor.
This, whatever reason, I have really high rib cage.
Yeah, same as me.
And it's so much bigger than my chest muscles, so it looks like my pecs are down here. I'm a bit weird, so I need to grow my chest muscles to match everything else down towards my waist. I don't want to have to work out too much and lose all my fat.
Yeah.
I just would rather the muscles catch up.
Muscle catch up, yeah, and catch up and overtake.
Pretty much, just trying to get that power lifter look.
The big keg. There's some monstrous human beings. I was looking at like Ronnie Coleman did an interview the other day on Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went and looked at it on YouTube rather than actually listening to it, actually watched it instead. You know, he has just broken himself through the years of just smashing training.
Yeah.
Just.
Too much.
Oh,
body
man.
Dysmorphia to the max, right?
Oh, yeah. It was quite interesting to listen to him talk about the steroid factor, though. He reckoned he could cycle in and out of steroids with no side effects.
Yeah, I had a mate like that. I think, well, maybe not. Maybe it was just tumultuous at the time and emotions were high. And maybe I didn't really recognize his mood swings because I wasn't so emotionally intelligent then. But I don't know. He used to cycle on and off. But yeah, there is some fucking massive dudes out there. There's a dude, I think I recognized him from Mandra at our gym down here. And I'm pretty sure I used to know him back in the day. And I was working my tries and where like the cables are for tries, like just doing press downs. And you can see the leg press. Dude walked in like cold off the street, set up the leg press. And this dude looked like, oh, his fucking calves the size of my quads, like massive.
Yeah, huge.
Walked in, 200 kilo warm up on the 45.
Yep, bang, bang, bang.
And looked comfortably doing it. And then just got up and put 260 on next set. And then 300 set up to he was taking long rest breaks, as you would, but he was still comfortably doing 6 or 8 reps at 300 kilos.
Yeah. It's quite surprising because I was having a talk with one of my mates the other day and we're sort of, you know, as you get older, you can sort of, you look back and you sort of say, okay, I can see why you do it when you're younger. But, you know, I was saying to him, okay, so, because he's still into his training, just like I am. I said, well, what's your purpose? You know, what actually are you training for? What is your purpose?
Yeah.
Because if you don't have a purpose, you'll never be successful at it. So you'll never gear yourself to achieve all you can achieve. So what is your actual purpose? What's the purpose of your training? Because the thing is, you're not a professional athlete.
Yep.
So, and you're obviously not aspiring to be because you're not tracking down any one particular line. You don't have a focus. So I said, so what's your purpose? And he sort of like said, oh, I haven't really thought about it. So I said, yeah, because you can go to the gym and have a great time doing it. But I said, but you'll never achieve all you want to achieve if you don't have a purpose for it.
Yep.
Like, you know, if you set it, so it's like, oh, my purpose is I just want to get some more muscle mass and I just want to lose some more weight. Cool, that's purposeful. But what's the end goal? What's the end result? Because if you achieve that, then what? What's your next? So then, because you don't want to be one of those people who go, I've trained solid for 10 years and all of a sudden then go, no, I can't be fucked anymore.
Yeah, bad enough.
That's it. You know, it's just like there's got to, everything that you do, in my opinion, should be purposeful and with purpose, so that you know you can achieve some kind of end result where you go, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to sort of just do it for a little bit and go, oh no, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm just gonna.
Yeah, but go. I think there's value in that as well. I think you got to do shit that you don't want to do to know that you don't want to do it.
Oh, you definitely have to make yourself feel uncomfortable doing stuff that's sort of like, nah, I don't really.
Yeah, I think that there's value in doing something for a couple of weeks and just be like, you know what? Nah.
You definitely got to try.
Not for quitting, right? I don't condone doing it and then it's too hard, so you give up.
Yeah.
But doing it and realizing that, and maybe I'm being a bit too quick to say that, but like anything, right, you need to allocate X amount of resources and personal resources, which is it worth the pain? Is it worth the time? Is it worth the money, right? Like, yep. Generally what it is. So, I mean, if you're doing something and realizing that, oh, I can cop out because I don't have enough time, right? Like, it's, or it costs too much or blah, blah, blah. I don't necessarily agree with that. But being able to say, yeah, look, I've got the time. I've got the, I can afford to do it or whatever. Whatever that buy-in is. Yeah, and I want to try it. And then go, okay, I've got the time, I've got the money, I've got the, the effort. And then it's not for you. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and that is fine.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. You got to do shit to realize that you don't want to do it sometimes.
Oh, I think you have to.
Yeah.
Things that you want to try. You have to try. And if you're no good at it and you can't stand doing it, then that's sort of fine. But if you have, and I'm thinking more of a longer pursuit.
So we've spoken about this. You got to have a strong why.
Oh, yeah. The why is always have to be strong.
Yeah.
And some people just start off with no why. Just like, I'm just going to do it because I want to lose some weight. There's fucking thousands of ways to lose weight. There's thousands of ways to do lots of different things. The information out there now, you can be overloaded. I actually was listening to some guys talking the other day, and it was quite. They were talking about motivational speakers, and what they were basically sort of saying is unless you've lived a life where you can comment on, you shouldn't be commenting on stuff. If you haven't lived it and don't understand it. You can't just tell people, on these days, you just got to get out of bed. You just got to fucking make the best effort. And I was listening to it going, yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I sort of do. Because, so I've always prided myself on not being an armchair theoretician. Everything I do, I've actually practiced in some way and I understand it. Or I've been a part of it. So I don't believe that you should comment on stuff that you have, you've not been a part of. Like you should never comment on hardship if you've never done it hard.
Yep.
You should never comment on being wealthy if you've never been rich. There's certain things that you probably don't have enough information on to do it. There's lots of things you can comment on, but
you can comment on anything.
You can comment
whether
on anything.
Or not you have validity.
Yeah, but if you're going to influence or try and influence the many, I think the best way to do it is having experienced it to sort of say, I really understand it. Like I can never really tell people about mental health because I've been on a mental high
forever. For
fucking ever. So I can't comment on the low because the only times that I've been low, I've actually been able to just pull myself back up. And it's generally after a tragedy where
this is where I come along and here's my expertise.
That's it. You got the fucking rite of passage.
Been there, right?
And that's the good thing is like you've earned your rite of passage to be able to say you can tell people what fucking low is. And you can also tell people what high is because you've been on both sides of the spectrum. I can give my opinion on what I think people need to do when they're in a low. But the thing is, I've never been there.
Yeah.
So my opinion means nothing because I have no weight of knowledge on it. But I have a lot of weight of knowledge on fucking being upbeat and being on a high because basically I managed to keep myself there fucking all day, every day. I'm in a fucking great spot.
Do you feel like... as someone, you're someone that I feel constantly tries to figure stuff out and understand it from a point of view, right? Like you are trying to know about stuff. Do you feel that you're, I don't know how to word this, what's the best way to say it? Not the best way to say it, was the best way to express my question. Do you feel you've missed out on a lot because you've, I don't want to say had it easy, but had it, relatively good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, you need to have it hard to talk about it being hard. You need to go through shit to talk about shit. do you wish you went through some more shit in your life?
Yeah, and that's a real tough
one. Yeah, because no one wants to say, I wish I had more shit, right?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. More people want the road to be smooth than to be rough.
I think, personally, people that have been through shit are more likely to say, I'm glad I went through shit, than people that haven't been through it to say, I wish I went through more shit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and look, it's a selective pound of shit that you want to go through. There's certain things you just think, I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Yeah.
No fucking way. And there's other ones you go, yeah, look, if I had to go through that, I'd probably survive it, but by fuck, I'd learn some stuff. You know, so, I mean, there's people who learn stuff from, like, you know, financial failure. And that's a fucking, that's a difficult thing. So we've got some beautiful friends that are going through that now, which is just fucking heartbreaking, from having a business where they were on top of the world, now in the current situation, to actually having to think about, we've just got to walk away. You know, that's a situation that, you know, I've never been exposed to. I mean, working for myself, I understand sort of how hard it is to get money through the door. So I've been not at bankruptcy stage, but, you know, I've been sitting there looking, going, the next check better come soon. There's fucking no cash left in the kitty, man. Yeah. We're just basically just, you know, waiting in the Nielsen. You go, whew, somebody's paid. Fucking beauty. Right, we're right for another fucking week. We've got all the bills covered. Right, let's just get about business again. So I've been there, but not to the extent to want to walk away. And I think those experiences do teach you to be smarter with stuff. And that's where probably the people two generations before us have learnt the hardest lesson, coming out of the war and going through the Great Depressions and stuff, and learning that fucking money is vital. That's where, you know, your grandfather would, you know, he'd keep all these screws. He'd unscrew them out of an old door, the door would go down the tip,
put
and he'd keep,
jar, yeah.
He'd put them in a jar, because you didn't want to go spend $2 on buying some new screws.
Yep.
Whereas now we just go, fuck up, out it goes.
Every time you're at Bunnings, you're like, oh, I better grab some screws.
Yeah, and because we haven't learned to do it hard, and people now will sort of say, oh, I'm fucking doing it hard. But we're not really doing it hard. We've got the support to be able to do things a hell of a lot easier now. We've got finances that can, you know, we can apply for cash, you can go down the dole, we can get money to survive, there's soup kitchens, there's all the stuff to help us out, you know, a little bit more than what there was, you know, 70, 80 years ago, where it was harder. So I wouldn't like to go and learn some of those lessons, because, you know, that would actually teach you actually how strong you actually really are. Because you know, you might think you're actually pretty strong as a person, but until you're actually broken, you don't actually understand.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where sort of I'm glad that I haven't had broken stuff. I've had some pretty shitty stuff go get broken itself, but I've never been broken, never to the point of sort of like, it's hard to clamber up. It's hard to see that there's light above the top of the hole. And I know you've had a couple of those ones where it's like, you know how deep the hole can be.
Absolutely. You know, I went through a very suicidal stage when I was making $110,000 a year, working less than half the year, owned a house, cars, family, food in the fridge.
Mm.
It's funny that money, like money and security and safety and warmth, and it doesn't necessarily mean happiness.
No.
There's so much that goes on between the ears and these things where you convince yourself that this is the best option for everyone, right? Like, it's people, I don't know, people have very different views on suicide, be it an easy way out or it's, you know, this or that. I don't know, man. I think
how can you comment unless you're the one there? Like, you know, unless you've actually been there, you go, you can't understand. That mental trait is so different for everybody.
Yeah, it really is. It really is different. It's funny when you talk about, like, I don't get how people can say it's the easy way out. I personally think it's the hardest way out.
Oh.
Having so many conversations with yourself to the point where you've convinced yourself that the whole world would be better off without you.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
The kids you brought into the world, the people at home waiting for you right now, you're like, you know what, it'd be much easier for them if I wasn't here.
Yeah, and what a tough conversation, because that conversation would not have happened once. It wouldn't happen twice.
happens would've all happened, day, all night.
Yeah, it would have happened. Weeks. Yeah, that's right. Would have happened 50, 60, 100 times to get to the point where we go, nah, that's it now.
Yeah.
I'm done.
This is it.
It's like, holy shit. Yeah. You know, and I can never understand it. I'd never say it's an easy way out because I don't understand what the out would actually feel like, you know, to get to that point where you think, I really can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, holy shit.
Yeah, man, it's different. It's definitely a different experience.
Yeah.
Everyone should go through it. No, you shouldn't if you can avoid it. Like, I envy your mindset. I envy that you can stay away from that spot. But
blessed I am. I'm fucking blessed.
Let's not say blessed. You're a hardworking person that works hard on your physical and mental health. I think, like, I wouldn't change my story.
Shit, no. It's the makeup of who you are.
It's made me resilient in ways that I am only just now figuring out. Like, I don't stress under stress. Like, I did when my mum died. I put myself in a really stressful situation and ended up making myself sick from it, like really sick, like disease sick. Now, maybe it's resilience, maybe it's just learning. I try to not put myself in those situations, right? Mm. But when shit gets hard, I don't stress like my wife stresses. She stresses, right? Like she stresses about money. And I'm like, fuck me, I've been broke. I've been rich. I've been everywhere in between. I've been both in a space of a year. Money comes and goes, man. I have the you know, the ways and means to make it. I have the, you know, the drive to make it if I need to.
And you got the tools to make it.
I got the tools to make it. I've got the intelligence to make it, all these sort of things. So I don't stress like she does. Like the house can go, right? Kids will deal with it, right? Kids don't remember, oh, you had to go to work for, they might remember if, you know, one time you know, for X amount of time you weren't there because you're working so much, right? But kids aren't going to remember when you change jobs or things like this.
Nah.
Kids don't know how much we work at work, the sacrifices we make up there, and they don't care about that shit. They don't care about the house. When it all comes down to it, I'm not too concerned about the house either. No. Or the internet. Or maybe the internet might be the breaking point, but you know, kids don't care about the car or the this or that, right? They just end up caring about the family, which when you go through situations like even now, this pandemic, and we're sort of forced to spend more time together, like as bad as that sounds, but we're in the same house more. You find that it's not going out for dinner and stuff like that that keeps you together. It's you guys. It's
It's your circle. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just auxiliary stuff. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I for a long time wished that my life was different. And then I realized that stories are what you make them, right? Like books are how you write them. And I have, you know, when now we play video games and you can start with an RPG and you set your backstory, right? You don't ever pick the one that's like, I was a nobleman's son and, you know, this and that. And you have the high conversation stats and this and that. No, you're like, fucking escape from jail and the pirate son. And, you want the badass story, which I'm lucky. My story's not unique. It is hard. There's millions of kids like me that have grown up to be, you know, successful members of society. It's just, I think we owe it to the kids that are going through shit. I owe it to kids that are going through shit to try and explain to them that it gets better. And if it's not better, it's not over. Right? No. Like, that's it. If it's hard times, then it's not the end time. Like, it does get better. You can make it better, and you have the ability to make it better. As much as you might not have the same hand of cards, right? Life is poker. You can just put all four back. Put four back. Keep one. Keep this one here, right?
Yep.
Put four back and get some more.
Get four
man.
More cards. Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah. So this,
and you've got to be willing to take a few risks on yourself.
You do. You got to trust yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's why I say, man, look, that billionaire that committed suicide a couple of weeks back, you know, billionaire.
Yeah.
Threw himself out of his window because it all got too hard.
Yep.
So it's just proof in the pudding that money
doesn't buy happiness.
No. In a situation like we're currently in now globally, it just goes to show if you can't get in contact with the people that mean something to you, I mean, that can be where it goes. And that's probably where it went for somebody like him, you know, without really knowing the full story. But, you know, all the money in the world couldn't buy him any happiness.
No.
You know, obviously bought him a fuckload of misery.
Yeah. Probably heaps of cocaine and hookers and
all
that fun.
Which is
fun,
happiness.
Right?
That's fucking happiness.
I don't care what you say. That's fun.
Oh,
everyone, but
Everyone needs love.
You do, and trust, and all these things that you have, and even if you've grown up and not seen a lot of it, it's still. You can make it out of nothing, right? Like you can grow it. You can feel it. You can share it. You can pass it around. There's enough. Like it's never going to run out.
Everything can be nurtured to grow.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. There's so much good inside that is infinite. Love is not finite. Happiness is not finite. You can just keep going with it.
Well, you can love so many
endlessly.
Things. Endlessly. You know, you can't just sort of say, oh, okay, I only love three people.
Yep.
No, you can love 200, 300, 400 people. It's just
you can
the
love
scale,
everyone.
Scale of whatever it is. You know?
Yeah. Just
love is good. Peace is good. Harmony is good. You know?
But Stoicism, right? Amor fati. Have you heard that before?
No.
Amor fati is Latin for love the fate. And it essentially means that you've got to deal with it. You might as well love it. Love the struggle. Love the shit.
Yeah.
Love the good.
Makes
love,
perfect sense.
Love everything. Love the... When you are at the gym and you're on your last set and your muscles are aching and you've got five more reps to do, love the pain.
Yeah.
Because that's where the good is, right?
Yeah. Love the journey. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, you know, love the fate, man. That's all you can do.
That's
you can't...
All you can do.
Always change your story. You can't change the past, but you can absolutely change your future. And unfortunately, it's all inside. There's no one can do it for you. It's all here. Everything that you feel, speak, know, share, teach, all these things are inside. And it's inside this little fucking grey mass in between your ears and behind your eyeballs, that everything, your whole future is in there. Yeah.
Your past, your present, your future is all trapped
it's
in there.
It's just about how you get it and how you move forward with it, I suppose.
How to extract the best out of it.
Yeah.
Well, let's leave that
on that
super happy
fucking
note.
Fucking hecticness there.
Yeah,
hopefully,
fuck yeah.
Well, that wasn't too heavy for everyone.
That's it.
Find some goodness
in it. Battle through it all.
Felt good. Felt good
did.
To talk about.
Yeah, it's good. We've learned some stuff.
We have. Guys, please put butter under your peanut butter.
No. Put your fucking milk in before you put your water in.
Find us on socials, LFTO podcast, everywhere, and we will see you next time.
Be kind to each other.
Yeah,
see you guys.
Bye, guys.